Okay, we're going to spend a few minutes tonight looking at the subject of prayer in the Bible. And let's start by looking at the book of Acts. So turn with me to the book of Acts tonight. And we'll go to a number of different places. Acts chapter number 1. Pardon me? Yes, we are. But we're having a different order tonight. Just seeing if you're paying attention. Acts chapter 1. Verse number 14. It tells us, verse 13, when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus and Simon Zelotes and Judas, the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplications with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. Here we find 120 days... of prayer between the resurrection of the Lord and Pentecost. Not 120, no. Am I thinking right here? Pardon me? Ten? Are you sure? 120 people. Good. I knew my brain wasn't working right. But I couldn't figure out what it wasn't working right about. We have a season of prayer in which they were praying between, it wasn't 10 days between the Passover and Pentecost, it was 7 weeks. Isn't that right? 7 weeks between the Passover and Pentecost. But here we have a season of prayer. That's a long time to pray, isn't it? But here we have a season of prayer. Turn with me to Acts chapter 3 and verse 1. It says, now Peter and John went up to the tent together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. It was the hour of prayer. You know, I would call this regular prayer. At this time, every day, people prayed. And it was a special time prayer that took place every day at the temple. And you know, our life is, there are such things as seasons of prayer. Long extended times of prayer. Here it tells us regular prayer. That's something they did every day. Mark chapter 1. Here's the Lord Jesus. It says, and in the morning, verse 35, rising up a great while before the day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed. Of course, we see this a number of different occasions of the Lord. We find other occasions where he spent all night in prayer. Here we find that long before daybreak, he went and prayed. Many times he prayed, we would call this special prayer. It was a special prayer because there was a special event that was coming up in his life, and that he knew about that special event. There were, before, of course, the betrayers with Judas came. He was in the Garden of Gethsemane praying. Special time of prayer. Before he chose the disciples, he prayed. I think that was the occasion he prayed all night. And maybe it was because he knew that the next day he was going to choose Judas, the one who was going to betray him, to be his disciple. And he would spend intimate fellowship with this betrayer for the next 3 years, over 3 years. And so special prayer. There's emergency prayer. Turn with me to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, verse 29. Here we find that they have been told, verse 18, they called them, the rulers, this religious rulers, called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. Now don't you dare say another word about Jesus Christ. And these are the people who were in power that caused the Lord Jesus to be delivered to Pilate and had him crucified. And they said, don't you dare talk in his name again. And so, what did they do? They prayed. Verse 29, and of course it starts a little bit earlier, verse 24, and when they heard this, they lifted up their voices to God with one accord, and said, and here's their prayer. And of course, verse 29, and now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And they spake the word of God with boldness. Here was prayer that was in response to these very special circumstances. Okay, in Acts chapter 12, I guess you would call this emergency prayer. And of course, here again we find Acts chapter 12, that Herod had killed James, the brother of John, with a sword, and he put Peter in prison. Verse 4, and he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church of God for him. And so here, special prayer meeting, because Peter's in jail. He is our leading apostle, our spokesman, and as soon as the holiday is passed, he's dead. Well, we better do something about it right now. And so they had prayer. And the Bible says prayer was made without ceasing. Continuous prayer, 24 hours a day. And the church was praying. We find in Acts chapter 9. I mean, Mark chapter 9. In verse 29, he was a young man that was demon-possessed, and he was in such bondage of Satan, his father brought him to the disciples, and they couldn't get him free. And Jesus had been on the Mount of Transfiguration with Peter, James, and John, and he brought him down, and he freed this boy from these demons. And they said to Jesus, why couldn't we do it? Verse 29. And he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. He was what we would call extended prayer in the battle against darkness. And this took great dedication and a great denying of the putting aside of the things of the of life and of the flesh, and take spiritually powerful praying. I say, you know, if you're going to fight a fire, you know, when I was a little kid, I got a fire truck. And this fire truck had an actual hose on it. And it's probably about, you know, the hose was about 1/8 inch in diameter, and the inside was even less than that. And, you know, I don't know what you hook it up to, but guess you hooked it up to a hose, you know, and you could squirt water with that thing. Man, that was exciting. But, you know, as much as you dreamed about fighting a big fire with that little fire truck, wouldn't do it, would it? You know, you don't fight a house fire with a squirt gun. And that's what the Bible's saying here. You know, there's differences in prayer. And so here the Lord made it very, very clear. There's this special prayer that requires a great getting very close to the Lord. That is a part of defeating the forces of Satan. You know, and I think a lot of Christians are walking, and we do this real often. We're walking around in life, you know, with a squirt gun trying to chase away the devil. You know, you think about that. You know, Christians get discouraged. And Christians get in big trouble spiritually. And you know what? And instead of saying, hey, I'm in a battle against the devil, they say, well, let's pull out the squirt gun. And so they have short devotions, and they have even shorter prayer. And then they wonder why they stay defeated and why they keep going backwards and downward. And why they lost the power in their life. And that's pretty typical of us as God's people, isn't it? And that's what the Lord is saying here. Now the Bible talks about breathing prayer. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Breathing prayer. First Thessalonians chapter 4. Verse 17 says, pray without ceasing. You say, it's not possible. Bible says, pray without ceasing. You say, you can't pray when you're sleeping. Well, you probably can't, but if you're in the attitude of prayer, and you really sense the need to pray, you probably will wake up a number of times during the night praying. And the first thing on your mind is praying. It's an attitude of dependence on God. It's an attitude of wanting God. It's an attitude of needing the Lord. It's an attitude of approaching God, and that's the only answer. It's breathing. When we talk, we breathe. That's a miracle. That's why some people can just, talk. Because they breathe when they talk. If they had to take a breath, it'd be short. But we can't do anything without breathing spiritually. And if we aren't in this attitude of prayer, we really aren't breathing spiritually, are we? We're walking our own strength without it. And so we have continuous prayer. Continuous prayer. James chapter 5, talked about the prayer of faith. Verse 14, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. Call it the prayer of faith. It's about the sick. And I don't know if I know all there is to know about this. But I think that the lesson the Lord has taught me is you can pray in faith for the sick. And you can pray in faith, but it's usually under certain conditions. And I'm not going to say that it's that way in every case, but in my experience, when God brings something into a person's life and they don't seek the Lord, and they don't turn to the Lord, and they don't humble themselves before the Lord, in my heart, I don't sense the ability to pray for them in faith. And that's really what I think it's talking about here. The prayer of faith. I think of Kathy Rice, the wife of evangelist Bill Rice, who started the Bill Rice Ranch. Mrs. Rice was about 65 or 70 years of age at this time, I think. I remember the story. And her twin sister from Texas called up. And she said, Kathy, I've just been diagnosed with cancer. And she said, she didn't say these words, but this is what she was saying. You're my twin, identical twin sister. You better go to the doctor and get checked out. And Kathy Rice went to the doctor and got checked out, and lo and behold, she had cancer too. And so Kathy called her sister and said, I've got cancer. And you were right, I needed to go to the doctor. And her sister said this. Never forget Kathy telling the story, Mrs. Rice telling the story. Says, she, her sister says, you'll be all right. You serve the Lord with your life. God's going to heal you. And he did. Her sister passed away, but Kathy Rice was healed of cancer. And I don't think she's still alive anymore, is she? Is she? Okay, she's still alive. Okay. But, boy, that was, you know, that was a long time ago I heard that story. But, you know, Bible talks about the prayer of faith. Now, as we just think about these different situations, think of the Old Testament. One verse that I thought of as well. A personal prayer for personal revival. Psalm 85 and verse 6. Psalm 85 and verse 6. It says, "Wilt thou not revive us again?" This is a prayer to God. "Wilt thou not revive us again?" And speaking of God intervening in their lives, in their nation, and the prayer, "Wilt thou not revive us again?" So we see all these different situations about prayer in the Bible. We find there is prayer that is response to a situation. They've threatened us not to speak of Christ. Okay, we're going to pray. We're not going to decide to stop speaking about Christ, but we are going to pray. Peter's locked up. They're going to kill him. Well, we're going to pray. Prayer is the normal and right response to any situation in our life. And depending on what that situation is, certainly ought to be returned with either some intensity of prayer or some length of prayer or some, in one case here, the unity of all the church. This is normal praying. Then we find praying has a lot to do with preparing for things. We pray in preparation. We need to pray in preparation. We need to think ahead, plan ahead. And the 120 prayed in the upper room in preparation for the coming of the Holy Spirit. There's preparation. Jesus prayed in preparation for the betrayal. Jesus prayed in preparation for the choosing of the 12. And the prayer of preparation, praying ahead of time, was very significant. It's a spiritual understanding. Wait a minute. We need to pray. And we need to pray ahead of time. Many times we miss that in life. Many times we as parents don't pray enough ahead of time. Prepare ahead of time. There's such a thing as normal praying. Normal praying. Yeah. Luke 11, those things he told us to pray about. He told us to pray, lead us not into temptation. Forgive us our sins. Provide for our daily bread. Lead us not into temptation. May your will be done. This is normal praying. He's saying this is something that should be done every day. Give us this day our daily bread. Well, that's saying that kind of praying should be every day, right? So normal praying. There's a lot of things that we should just be praying for normally. Then there's emergency praying. Emergency praying. There's prayer that's appropriate to a emergency need. I think you heard the story about, and actually this took place about the same time. I heard the story about the same time, right after Brother Griffin recovered. Well, I'll tell his story. You know, he was in the hospital, and his life was really not only on the line, it was on the brink. And it seemed like there was a little step forward, and then we come back to the hospital the next day, and there was another surgery. And something, you know, there's an infection. We'd come, and then there'd be a recovery from that, and go through that, and that'd be positive, and then we'd come back, and then there's another complication. And I remember being in the hospital and saying, you know what? We need to be responding to this correctly. This email out, sending out a plea for prayer, this isn't working. It's working, but it's not good enough. We need to have a prayer chain and have people praying all the time with great earnestness. And then we began to see that slow recovery and the tide turning. You know, emergency praying is praying that is appropriately responding to the situation. And it takes a spiritually minded people to recognize that a church, the people of a church, have a duty to one another to respond to an emergency. So we call that emergency praying. And you know, a church, as you think about it, a church, not only personally, but a church needs to have these kind of things within its mind. Hey, wait a minute. And you ever think about this? And I think that this is important. I think that we need to recognize, you know, when we give a prayer request on Wednesday night, it needs to be thought through, because you are asking 100 and some people to take their time to pray for that request. It not ought to be given flippantly. It ought not to be just something for whatever reason, because you're asking 100 some people to be praying for that request. You're taking the time of this assembly and you're asking these people. On the other hand, and that's why requests need to be genuinely guarded and right. On the other hand, if someone is saying, you know, I had this opportunity to talk to someone, and I've been praying for this for a long, long, long time, and I gave him the gospel, I gave him a tract, and what you're saying is right now, more than any other time in their life, they need to respond, and only God can do the work. Will you pray with me? So important. Prayer meeting is such an important part of church. And so we have emergency praying. And we already talked about it. We have revival praying. Wilt thou not revive us again? The people of God saying, hey, we need revival. I know the word can be wore out, but you know, I think it was John R. Rice, an evangelist, said, every Christian is in either the state of revival or needing revival. And every church is in that same state. And if there is a reviving taking place, let me tell you what, it won't last long. Not unless people pray like adult Christians. You know, many times we're still babies in our praying. And when something good happens, and you know what? We say, oh, praise the Lord, and then we stop praying. Right? That's what we do. And shame on us, but we need to grow and become adults even in our praying. Saying, hey, you know, the fire can't keep going unless you keep putting wood on it. And prayer is the feeder. So we have all these great truths in the Bible about praying. And I trust that just as we thought about that tonight, that we have been encouraged to continue to pray earnestly in our week of prayer. For those of you who aren't really aware of what's happening, we ask people to look to the Lord, that with the Lord's help, to be in such an attitude of prayer, looking to the Lord for God to work, that we would whisper a prayer, you know, every hour of the waking day. Every hour as the Lord, and we really, I think we need to be reminded. I know I need to be reminded tonight. Hey, you know what? We need to seek the Lord that we would be people of prayer. And we can start off good and then kind of wanes down. We need to be encouraged. And so I'd like to encourage you in that area to be praying. There's, I'm sure, a multitude of things that you could be praying for, a multitude of people, and we do definitely need to be praying for those who have recently come to Christ. There's a definite need there. I see a spiritual battle taking place intensely over these lives, and Satan does not want young believers to grow, and he's going to do everything he can. And once you might say a little bit of the certain euphoria of getting saved wears off, and then the devil's going to be right there knocking them down. And so we need to be really praying for that. And maybe there's special needs in your family that a great victory needs to be won. God is speaking to you about every day, during the day, confess your sins. Boy, that'd be a great prayer for young people. I you know, young people, they let sin come into their life, and you see the smile turn into, I don't know, what would you call it? You know, I'm not going to say a frown, but certainly a moody frown. And you know why? Because sin got into their life, and they didn't confess it. And it'll start hatching its eggs in their heart. So we have lots of things to pray about. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. And thank you for the reminders tonight about prayer and how we need to be people of prayer. Lord, increase our burden. Lord, increase our sense that we need you. Increase the hunger of our soul, Lord, to lean upon you. Increase our love and compassion for others, that we would carry a compassionate burden for them, urgency to pray. Lord, help us to have a sense of your Holy Spirit in our lives, responding to him, confessing our sins, and looking to you. Help us, Lord, to have a sense of the times. We pray in Jesus' name.